everybody, it's your favorite day of the week. It's time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, we are in a very interesting time in the world.
You think?
Yeah, well, this time, 2 weeks ago, we were yucking it up with Kate Casey.
Yeah, we were.
And, like, laughing like we didn't have a care in the world.
We're having a good old time.
Just for context, in case you're listening to this years after the fact, we are recording this on Friday, March 20th, 2020, right in the middle of the entire coronavirus scare.
So 2 weeks ago, we were yucking it up, and now we are in a pandemic. Ooh.
Hey, those people who are listening to this years from now, could they let us know how this turns out?
Well, right? I don't know that they're time travelers.
No. Oh, okay.
Like, they'll be able to listen and tell us what they think in retrospect, but I don't know that they'll be able to come to now, to the right now, and say, like, oh, yeah, that was not good.
but Hallmark, the Hallmark Channel, not missing a beat, is showing Christmas movies every day, all day.
Yeah, just so starting like an hour ago.
Was this originally what they were going to do, or they've just sprung this on people?
No, okay. They sprung this on us.
Great.
And remember, next week is also the beginning of Spring Fling Month, so they'll be showing Christmas movies and spring movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
So get ready.
Well, I think the Christmas movies are just over this weekend, and then the Spring Fling starts.
Oh, okay.
Right. But it's crazy, you know. I was actually at a theater festival last week. I was at the Rogue Festival, and so we were in the worrying started like around the middle of the festival. Last weekend we were in the tail end of the festival, and there was a big debate on whether they should shut it down or not. Because in Fresno, as opposed to here, Fresno, there was only one case, and that person was actually from Fresno, but they weren't in Fresno. So when I was there last weekend, there were no cases at all. So that's why there was a debate, and like 10 of the performers dropped out of the festival. I did my last two shows, and like my final show, like I totally sold out, and people were still going to shows as of last Friday night.
What size crowds are we talking?
We're talking the majority of the people sold out, so anywhere between like 40 and 100.
Wow. Okay.
The different size venues.
Yeah.
And so, but like I said, it hadn't, like, there were no cases there yet. So people were still like, you know, it's a thing, but, you know, people were still kind of on the fence. What was it like in L.A., Jason?
Well, it's surreal because I live in West Hollywood, and I'm right above Santa Monica Boulevard where all the gay bars are, and I'm directly below the Sunset Strip where all, like, the famous, like, rock and roll clubs are. So, like, I'm in the middle of not just nightlife, but all of L.A. nightlife, like, right in the center of it. And it's a ghost town because nothing's open. Like, I was walking along the Sunset Strip on Monday afternoon on my way home from work, and nothing was open. It was so surreal.
Right. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think the Rogue Festival in Fresno, I mean, that came in just under the wire. If you guys had been like a week after,
right,
we got shut down. But since then, Orlando Fringe, which is in May, end of May, they've canceled. And one of the first Canadian Fringes, London, as in London, Ontario, they were originally the first week of June, and now they're going to be the last week of September.
Wow.
We'll see what happens with the other festivals. I don't know.
Right. which is crazy because I was actually, I was booked solid. I was booked from like this, I was doing the Rogue Festival, and then I'm literally booked from July until September. So
right.
a lot of my friends, it's, you know, we're in a holding pattern, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't know, and we're live performers. So if we don't perform, we don't get paid, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Kurt, how is it affecting you in the tri-state area?
Well, I'll tell my story because I have not talked about this on the show yet. But so the end of last year, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is cancer of the lymph nodes. My prognosis is good, but I've been going through chemo this year. And so I went through my second round of chemo last week. And Saturday night after the chemo, so I went through chemo Tuesday and Wednesday. Saturday, like late Saturday night, I got a call from the doctor who had seen me while I was getting treatment. And he said he has the coronavirus.
Wow.
So therefore I was exposed to it. And while this was happening, my parents were staying with me. My dad had just turned 84, like that day. And so I had to come out and say, Mom, Dad, guess what's going on? Not good news. So I was put under a quarantine for 2 weeks, which would be beginning on the day that I was exposed to it.
Uh-huh.
My 2 weeks are almost over, and I haven't had any symptoms or anything. So
right.
I've been okay. But it's just it's a crazy thing. You know, because I took all the precautions. I mean, I'm okay probably because I took all the precautions, probably because my immune system was high the morning before I actually began, and that's when I saw the doctor. Whereas if I'd seen him a couple days later, you know, I would have been way more susceptible.
And isn't the incubation period, or didn't they say like it's like 5 days or something? Like you start seeing symptoms within 5 days?
Yeah, this doctor said like that. 5 to 7. And
okay,
I'm well past that. Yeah,
so you're pretty much almost, you're almost in the clear then.
Yeah, I am most likely in a clear at this point. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Right. Right.
It amazes me, you know, that there are people that still think this is some sort of hoax. Like, I get early on when we were first getting news, we weren't getting a lot of news. It did seem like the media was making a bigger deal out of it than maybe it was. But now, like, when you have huge, huge, multi-billion-dollar corporations shutting down events for going millions and millions of dollars in revenue, that's not a hoax. Like, they didn't just, like, turn on the news and say, oh, this seems scary, let's shut it down. Like, they weighed their options, and this is the path to least resistance, and it's where we are.
Right. Like, come on, Coachella.
Yeah. Like, Disneyland Coachella. And Disney World aren't closing unless they really need to.
Right.
Even General Hospital has halted production.
Hey, I'm so sorry for
yes, I know.
I thought of less when I said, oh, man.
Luckily, Days of Our Lives pre-tapes. So Days of Our Lives has new episodes to last them through September.
Do they?
Really?
Because I thought that they, when they were in their contract negotiations last year, after they re-upped everyone and like rehired a bunch of the actors after they had released them, they said, but we're not going to film for a while because we have a bunch in the can. And I thought now they were saying that, oh, they never got around to filming those because they were about to start back up.
No. They already started back up.
Oh, okay.
They started back up like a month ago. So they actually have more in the can. So they put out a statement that they're good until September.
Okay.
Wow. So we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right.
I'm good. You know, that's all I need.
Oh, thank God.
Is Days of Our Lives, some trashy movies, Jackie Collins novels, and I'm set. I'm good.
Oh, that's true. All that stuff still exists. They can't.
But, yeah, so you know, it's,
they can't cancel Jackie Collins novels. So.
How dare you?
I can't cancel them. I canceled them years ago.
How dare you? Jackie Collins, the late, great Jackie Collins is a saint. She's good for people. She wrote trash. But, you know, the thing is, this is a time where, we need a little escapism. So that's where Hallmark and Lifetime come into play. And the Hallmark Channel, did we already mention this? The Hallmark Channel has brought their Christmas movies back.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
We did.
How did we not talk about that, Les? Come on.
I'm sure their ratings, I bet you their ratings are going to go through the roof.
Of course. There are these stories of people rehanging their Christmas lights up now, and we're in March, but I'm assuming it's some sort of like comfort thing. Like it makes them feel like, okay, I'm in control of this.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing how they're showing like people around the world and how people are actually coming together. Like there's an opera singer in Italy who at sunset every day sings an aria and all the neighbors listen from their windows. And there was another place where this whole street was having a sing-along and they were singing Sweet Caroline. So it's kind of cool how people are actually coming together through this.
And here in the States, people are beating the shit out of each other for some Eggo waffles.
Eggos are good. And so, I didn't say that. Well, and I was going to mention there's Spring Breakers who we've seen. Yeah. It's not funny, but...
Right.
It's woman's like, but however, I'm celebrating my birthday and it's St. Patrick's Day and no coronavirus is going to stop me. I don't know, honey.
Right. What? Yeah. What about, did you guys see that video of the girl? She's some influencer who was licking the toilet.
No, I didn't see that.
I am totally serious. I'm not even joking. There's this Instagram person.
Let's just take a picture.
Who was showing that, like,
picture that, his expression.
She's like, it's not going to get me. And so then she licked a toilet seat.
Okay. Well, you can get other diseases from toilets too. So
right.
She might be clear of coronavirus, but
mouth chlamydia.
Right.
Ah,
and
what's worse?
And it's like, good luck getting a date after that. You know, all the guys seeing you look at toilet. That's just so ladylike.
I feel like there is someone out there for everyone, though.
Right.
I feel like we are looking at that and we are judging it as we should. But there is somebody out there saying, tell me more.
Right.
I do appreciate a woman who cleans. So.
You've mentioned that
true.
Before.
Now,
give me that woman's number.
Right. Now, speaking of something for everyone and someone for everyone, do we have any Blac Chyna news today?
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And now, the Blac Chyna Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
All right. This is from Hollywood Life, just from a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Blac Chyna is embracing time with her little girl, Dream Kardashian 3, while social distancing amidst the coronavirus outbreak. Chyna took to her Instagram story to share videos of herself and Dream doing some painting on the evening of March 17th. In the videos, Chyna is holding the brush while Dream directs her toward which color to use. Then the 3-year-old sweetly holds up one of the bottles of paint and tells her mom that it's all gone. Dream wore her pajamas and appeared to be in the kitchen during the arts and crafts session. Interestingly, these videos were posted on March 17th, which is Dream's dad's Rob Kardashian's birthday. It's unclear if Dream spent time with her dad earlier in the day to celebrate, or if he was unable to see her on the special occasion. Black and Rob have a strict custody agreement, so it's possible that his day with Dream may not have fallen on his actual birthday. Chyna and Rob are currently in the midst of some legal issues. He accused her of trying to strangle her by wrapping an iPhone cord around his neck in December 2016. However, in February, she filed to have this lawsuit dismissed, adding she did wrap the cord around Rob's neck, but claiming that it was not in the intent to strangle him.
Well, you know, accidents happen.
Yes. It's good to know what they're up to. So that's the suggestion for people at home. You can paint, you know, be like Blac Chyna.
Right. But by the way, you guys, so I just forwarded you on your phones the link to the girl who was.
Should we look at this now? Everybody at home, you could sync this up. I don't know if I want to see this.
Oh, you texted it. Hold on.
Yes.
I'm going to look at this now. Hold on.
Yes.
I get it. Okay.
I mean, you should have led with the fact that she's in Florida.
Well, no. I mean, okay, you know, she's on spring break, but still, you know. There was a time in my life that I would get really drunk, but I was never that drunk.
I didn't get the toilet. I'll watch it.
Wearing on her head.
So what's going on in the video? Could you give us a play by play? Because I can't see it. Is she licking a toilet?
You're making me watch. All right, so a very pretty girl. She's got her hair well done. She's got really nice nails. She's wearing some sort of weird crown like thing in her head. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not a crown. It's like a really cheesy, douchey sunglasses. So she licks the seat, and then she does like a peace sign with both hands. So she clearly cleaned that thing before she did it.
That doesn't matter.
I still would look at
no,
toilet seat,
no, but I guarantee she didn't just go into that airplane bathroom and.
Oh, is it an airplane? Just,
yeah, it's an airplane bathroom.
Jeez.
Do you know what airplane bathrooms smell like?
You know what all bathrooms smell like?
If it was a Spirit, they'd probably charge her extra for licking a toilet seat.
Right, exactly.
I mean, $35.
They are Fendi sunglasses.
Oh my God. That's $35, please, for licking that toilet seat. And we only take credit cards, no cash.
Oh my God. Like, you know, Mother Nature's doing us a favor right now.
These crazy kids. Know. Kids today. What are we going to do?
What we are going to do is we are going to do a great show. That's what we're going to do.
All right. Yes.
Falling
yes.
for Vermont.
Let's get started. Can you repeat the name of the movie again?
Falling for Vermont.
Falling. Okay. So this
the Hallmark
is
movie.
One. This is one of my favorite soap opera tropes. Amnesia. This is a movie about amnesia.
And I had no idea that's where this was going when I started this movie.
Okay, no. I am an amnesia expert.
Now, this is amnesia exists in the movies and TV, apparently. I looked up a little bit of amnesia.
Right.
Looked up the Mayo Clinic. And amnesia, the real amnesia, doesn't exist like this, just a little. I guess people know that. But.
Well, on soap operas, amnesia is a staple.
I just want to be critical. Okay.
Amnesia, as a matter of fact, you know why I'm an amnesia expert? Because right now I am watching Days of Our Lives, where Hope Brady has amnesia because she was Princess Gina for an entire year because she had a microchip in her brain. And now that they've removed the microchip in her brain, she now has amnesia and is trying to remember the past year and a half of her life.
Wow. I'm going to isolate that clip of Les just now explaining that storyline, just that clip. And I'm going to put it in a time capsule somewhere so that decades from now, somebody will open that and they will hear that clip and think that this is a real person and this is something that actually happened.
When I heard that explanation, I started having cognitive issues. It was so complicated and bizarre that my brain now needs a little bit of a rest. I'm serious.
Well,
I'm okay. Okay.
I kind of look at this movie as kind of like the Hallmark's take on Desperately Seeking Susan.
Okay.
The Hallmark version.
That movie involved amnesia, right? I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yeah. Yes. You've never seen Desperately Seeking
Susan. I have, but it was back in the day. So Rosanna Arquette has amnesia and thinks she's
yes,
a Madonna?
Yes, and she thinks that she's Susan, right. Played by Madonna.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'd like to see that again.
Yes. Well, you have some time on your hands.
You do. Get into the groove.
One of the many movies. Okay.
So we start off We see Boston. And then we see a woman on the phone, and she's like every other Hallmark heroine, very busy. She's very busy, right? So then she and her assistant, who's also her sister, are picked up by a chauffeur. So you can tell that she's not only very busy, she's very busy and loaded. And so then
we find out she's being chauffeured to a book expo. She's an author named Angela Young.
Right. So we basically find out that she's basically like J.K. Rowling, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she's
I thought she was more. I thought she was more like an emerging. Or
well, she's like
or maybe she already has a series.
She's like J.K. Rowling when after the first Harry Potter book came out and they had made a movie, but no one has seen the movie yet. So like just right about to really explode.
Right. And and you know, because we find out that she's okay. Oh, like she's just she's about to blow up.
Right.
So she's in the chauffeur, and so they're talking to the chauffeur. And the chauffeur asks the annoying – she says she's a writer, and the chauffeur asks the annoying question that if you're a writer or an actor or any other kind of performer, he asks the annoying question, have you done anything I've heard of? It's like, what have you heard, idiot? Sorry, that question triggers me because as an actor, I get it. Have I seen you in anything? What have you seen? You know, so we find out she is not enjoying her newfound fame at all.
No,
not at all, right? But mm-hmm. It seems like her sister, who's her assistant, and her boyfriend, who's her manager, are enjoying it way more than she is.
Yeah.
So then, you know, like a little girl approaches her. She tells the little girl, you know, you got to have confidence. You know, she's all about encouraging young girls to be writers, which I think is a good thing. But then we find out that she's on like a press tour. And so from here, she's going to LA and her movie, Harry Potter Light, or whatever it is premiering.
I think it's called Time Visitor? Was that the name?
The Visitor.
Yeah. Time Visitor.
So her movie's about to premiere.
Right. And we see a trailer, which I was kind of impressed by. So like Hallmark basically had to shoot something that didn't look like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. It had a look of like The Maze Runner, one of those kind of like, you know, or Hunger Games.
And they even had, like, the voiceover of the guy going, in a world. Ba-da-da.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it did, actually. So then we cut to Vermont. And we see a kid at the doctor. And the kid, you know, is with his mom. The doctor's checking him out. The doctor tells him he has, like, swollen glands or something. But you can tell this sets up the doctor who's going to be the male lead. And this is, you know, telling us that he's good with kids and the kids like him. And
did you find yourself uncomfortable in this scene because everything in our life right now is filtered through the lens of COVID-19 and we see a doctor's office, we see a kid with swollen glands and I was like, no. And then I was like, wait, this movie was done a long time ago.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And then when he gives like the kid the lollipop, it's like, wait, don't touch that lollipop until you sanitize it.
Yeah.
You know? So then we see the doctor's – what's his name? Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see Jeff's kids with his mom, and mom is hinting around that he needs to meet someone, which means he's a single dad.
Ooh. I see dead people.
We'll get to
exactly.
that later.
Exactly. This is Hallmark. So there's a 99.9% that his wife is dead.
Can't get enough of that.
Although, didn't they say the D word in the last Hallmark movie we watched?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
This must be an older one. This is an older one, right, we're watching. Mm-mm. Right?
This is very recent.
No?
No, it's current.
Is it? Okay.
It's current.
In fact, this shares some DNA with the last one that we watched, the one about the where they were renovating the house for that show. The girl that plays Jeff's daughter is the same girl that played the daughter in that movie. And the green room at Boston Today, or whatever it was, Beantown Today, was the same green room as the talk show in Denver from the other movie that we just watched.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Oh, yeah. It's like those old Roger Corman movies.
Yeah.
So there you go. So basically, we're saying it's a studio in Vancouver.
reuse locations. Yeah, the little girl, I sent you guys this meme. I don't know if this is going to come off on a podcast, but there's like a meme of a little girl where she, I don't know, she's giving like a weird look. See, I can't describe it at all. Unless we put this on our on Instagram, you guys can see what we're...
In my notes, I wrote, Kurt is right.
Yeah, it looks like that little girl. We'll put it on our website or something.
Wait, I may have seen that image before I watched the movie. Let me go back and look now, because now I'm curious to what you're talking about. Hold on. What is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen this meme. This meme is used quite a bit. I'm sure our audience have seen it. It might be that girl. It looks so much like her.
I don't think it is.
No, probably not. Yeah.
Right. So. Oh, so then, like, at the bookstore, the little girl who we were just talking about, she loves – this is, like, her favorite book, Angela's book, right?
Yep.
Time Visitor.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Angela and her boyfriend, and she's really nervous. She's having stage fright before she goes on this talk show. Or no, before she goes to this premiere to speak. The boyfriend is like, you know what, just be yourself. You're fine. And then the boyfriend offers her nuts. And the boyfriend is an asshole because she is highly allergic to nuts.
By the way, when it was revealed that he was her boyfriend, I wrote in my notes, Brad is her boyfriend? She gay. Like, when he first came on screen, he was very big and flamboyant. And it was like, oh, it's her gay assistant. And then it's like, oh, it's her boyfriend? Okay.
Right.
Sure, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah. That's the point in the movie where they reveal it. She said, we've been dating for how long? And I was a little surprised too. Didn't look like they were a couple.
At first I thought, oh, good for you, Hallmark. You're getting into the, you know, you have a gay character. Here we go. Good for you.
By the way,
before
he even offered her nuts in a total asshole move, he walked into the theater where all these kids are screening the movie, and his phone rings, and he just answers it in the middle of the theater like a D-bag.
Right.
Is Brad hot?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay.
No.
Like,
absolutely not.
You know, maybe after a couple of weeks of quarantine here, but
otherwise. Right, exactly.
Well, it's Brad's
talk to us. Talk to us on April
20th. Oh boy. There's people listening to the show years from now. How does it work out for Brad?
Right.
Oh, they could time travel like Athena in the books and let us know.
That's right. See?
Exactly.
Ooh, great. I'm thematic.
And then the boyfriend tells her that he just basically made a deal where she has three more – she got three more books. And she's like,
not happy.
No, because she's like, "This, I don't want to do any more of these books. The series is done. I've ended it."
I'd like to be doing what she's doing. She's miserable. I guess she just wants to write and have nobody know who she is.
Which is normal for a writer. I think that's very normal.
Hmm? Yeah, a lot of writers are introverts, and it's a very solitary career.
Yeah, but you have to kind of, I don't know. What was that? I just was watching that movie last night, Can You Forgive Me?
Yeah.
And the whole thing. Have you seen that? And yeah. like the woman, she can't. Like she's not a successful writer, and her agent is explaining to her like look, you've got to be famous, you've got to get yourself out there, make a name for yourself. And she's like, no,
I miserable. She had other problems, like you know, her cat.
Yeah, that's a good movie, actually.
It is good.
She was drunk. Her cat. Yeah. She didn't have a litter box for her cat. She had other issues going on.
She did.
But no, I have a friend who used to work in publishing. Kurt, you know her too, Heather. And she was telling me that like writers are an interesting bunch because a lot of them, since it is a very solitary career, there a lot of them are introverts, and so trying to get them to do press and different things like this sometimes can be challenging because they're not the most outgoing people on the planet.
Yeah.
So that actually made sense to me. But then again, I wrote, quit your bitching. Get out there and tell you, get on that stage.
Yeah.
Because she's not happy. She just wants to get away for a week.
It's fall. She wants to go apple picking.
True. And canoeing. Yeah.
She said that. She literally said she wants to go apple picking and canoeing.
She wants to pick apples.
Right. So her boyfriend is like, hey, you know what? Let's get through this, and then we'll go to the country. We'll go to the Berkshires. Have you guys ever been to the Berkshires?
I have not.
Kurt? No. Where is the Berkshires?
It's like, isn't it like...
Is this outside of Boston?
Like New York, like isn't it like in upstate New York?
Well, that's the Catskills. It may also be upstate New York, or maybe it's somewhere else in New England and very similar to the Catskills. Like I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. But I assume it's a similar kind of deal as the Catskills.
I don't go up to upstate New York too much, so I don't know. I guess I should know. I don't know.
And any list, let us know. Because Jason and I live in California.
Keep talking. I'll Google it. We could do that.
Berkshire. Somebody's listening to this. Like, I know what the Berkshire is. How do you not know?
Right?
Les, how would you feel if someone made a deal like that with you? Like, they told her she's got to do three more books. Like, what if you had a series of shows and you were kind of done with it, but then you get this big opportunity. They say, well, okay, Les, you've got to do three more shows with that.
How much money is involved?
Looks like there's quite a, I mean, for her, I would say there's a substantial amount.
If there was a substantial amount of money involved, I could suck it up, buttercup, and do it.
Right.
Maybe I wouldn't put my heart in it so much, but I'd still do it for the money. I would totally do it. Oh, hell yeah.
The Berkshires are in Massachusetts. Yeah, similar kind of thing to the Catskills.
Okay.
And yeah, I think you're asking the wrong person that question, Kurt, because Les, like, wants to be working, and, he is outgoing, and he sort of welcomes that kind of attention. Like, this Angela, she doesn't want any of this.
I guess. I mean, she was kind of holding on. She had a certain integrity that her story – she felt her story was finished.
Right.
And so she didn't feel like she wanted to write the three more books. I guess she'd want to write something else.
Yeah.
And you know what? I bet it would depend on what her past was like. Because in J.K. Rowling's case, wasn't J.K. Rowling like a single mom? She was homeless practically. She had no money. And then this was like – she hit it big with this. I bet she would do three more and be like, screw it, I'm doing three more.
Yeah.
But this woman, like, it seems like she came from, like, with her family, with her, like, because her sister's working. It seems like she came from, like, a pretty stable background. So that might have something to do with it.
Okay.
But J.K. Rowling did say, hey, I'm not writing any more books. And she put an end to it before she had written the last book. She said, this is this many books long. I've always envisioned it this way. Like, she stuck to her guns.
True. Well, okay, I mean, true.
Yeah. I mean, she could write three more right now if she wanted. So she could write as many as she wants.
And she is one of the wealthiest people on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right. Okay.
Understandable.
So this next part made me like Angela.
Okay.
Because it involves theft.
Theft.
I like that you make us watch these warm and fuzzy Hallmark movies less, but the only moments you enjoy are when these warm and fuzzy, super nice people are doing bad things.
Exactly.
I don't think less is actually up to these things. Like, I think, didn't you admit one time you sneak around, you've hid under beds and things like that?
Yes, I have.
And I don't know where that's – we need to hear that story at some point.
I'm an expert eavesdropper. I love to eavesdrop. I'm nosy.
Well, you're getting away with it, I guess. So.
So she's on the show Beantown today, right? She's getting ready for her interview, and right. Her sister puts down a set of keys, and so then Angela sees her sister put down the set of keys, and what does Angela do? She steals the keys and steals the car.
Yeah, she's sitting there waiting to go on the show, and all the commotion of like getting ready for the next segment is happening, and nobody's paying attention. So Angela just bolts. She just sneaks out.
Right.
Yeah, she basically pulls a Chappelle. She pulls a Chappelle.
Yeah, kind of.
She runs off the set, and that's it.
Actually, she did pull Dave Chappelle. Didn't he go to, like, Africa or something initially?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure that's where she was headed.
But I don't think he left set to leave. I think he just didn't show up to set the next day. Like, she was literally in the chair ready to go on this talk show. Could easily have bolted after her five-minute segment, but she left anyway.
And the cool thing is, she was, like, famous enough to get away with it. Like, it wouldn't have affected her career at all.
Which is a detail that we'll have to deal with later.
Okay.
Once the amnesia sets in, because I actually had a problem with that.
So then she goes to Vermont. Now, have either one of you guys been to Vermont?
No.
I used to go to Vermont, like, when I was a kid. Yeah. Right. I used to go to Sugarbush. It was called Sugarbush.
Sugarbush. What was in Sugarbush?
Sugarbush.
Good drag queen
name. There were like ski resorts, and so I used to ski when I was a little kid.
And yeah, I've been to Vermont. New Hampshire, but I've never been to Vermont.
So spent some time in Vermont. Yes.
There you go.
But 7 years ago.
Okay. So she's driving. She's driving in the rain. She wrecks, like, a branch falls out of a tree, and then so she wrecks her car.
But totally off screen. Because it's Hallmark, we see none of it. We don't see an actual accident happen. We just see the car swerve, cut to next morning.
You just hear a crash. It's like a sitcom. Like, if you watch, like, the Facts of Life, everybody, if someone walks out, and you hear, like, a crash outside. It's like that.
So then we cut to the next day, and so this actually is a common soap opera thing. So she's an amnesia victim, right? She's wandering around. She's been in this accident, but she looks fabulous.
Oh, well, they roughed her up a little bit. She's a little bit Walking Dead.
Yeah, no shoes. She was barefoot.
I actually found it. I found it kind of jarring, actually. They roughed her up, and I never saw anybody roughed up so bad in a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a lot.
And they left her that way for a little while, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was like just, you know, aimlessly walking down the middle of the street.
Well, no, even after she goes to the doctor, she's still, like, kind of – she's dressed in scrubs for a couple of days.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for a couple of days.
And different scrubs. Like, they change her scrubs.
It's a bit haggard.
So then she's wandering around, and then the sheriff finds her, and she doesn't know. You know, she tells the sheriff she doesn't remember who she is, and so then the sheriff takes her to the town of Hopedale, which actually gave me the warm and fuzzies because Hopedale sounds like Oakdale, which was the city that they lived in on As the World Turns. So, you know. And Yahoo
I'm,
got their
I'm feeling warm and fuzzy
turns.
For you.
We're all just
you know who got their start playing twins on As the World Turns? Julianne Moore. She played Franny and her twin sister Sabrina.
I saw her in a grocery store once.
Oh, really? Was she striking?
Yeah. I don't know. She was buying. Where was I? I was in the West Village. I went to a grocery store in there. She was shopping.
So the sheriff takes her to Dr. Jeff, and Jeff checks her out, and Jeff tells her, okay, yeah, you have amnesia, but it's probably not going to last very long, you know, eventually you'll snap out of this, you know, and so the sheriff tells her, you know, we're going to keep on, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out where you're from and help you out. And so, yes, Dr. Jeff gives her scrubs to wear because she's, like, in a hospital gown. So he gives her scrubs.
Right.
And then they come up with a name. and he was going to call her something. And she's like, you know what? No, I'd rather call myself. And then she looks in the magazine and says, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think you ought to call her Cheryl.
Yeah, he did. You want to call her Cheryl.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
What's so wrong with the name Cheryl?
No, it's my cousin's name. Cheryl.
So she's like, no. Yeah, I have a cousin Cheryl, too, actually.
Yeah, it's a very popular cousin name.
Like, Angela had a visceral reaction when he suggested Cheryl. She was like, no. It was Cheryl. Almost like someone named Cheryl, even though she doesn't remember her life right now, somebody named Cheryl wronged her in some way.
Maybe.
I don't know where – I got a little problem with the ethics of this movie. So we could – beginning with, is it okay for your doctor to name you?
Right.
I'm not so sure that's by the book.
Also, like,
I'll name you Cheryl.
I realize
I'm the doctor. Doctor's orders.
It's a small town in Vermont. I realize that. But also, like, if some Jane Doe shows up, doesn't have any kind of idea who she is, she has no ID, like, would they just let her keep wandering around the city and the doctor's like, oh, I'll take her under my wing? No, like, she'd be probably referred to Health and Human Services, right?
Right.
Well, he does try to help by doing a Google search on attractive woman lost in New England. We'll get to that.
He tried.
Well.
Oh, so Jason. Yes. I wrote. I bet Jason likes this because Jason, the town is having a festival.
Of course they are. They always have a festival.
Fall.
Oh,
fest.
Yeah.
Fall fest.
What did I write? As soon as I heard that fall fest, like, oh shit! Now we got to deal with this fall fest. And sure enough.
One thing that I'll say now that I actually really liked about this Hallmark movie, which is very unique to this Hallmark movie, is the two leads, they were never pitted against each other. There was never that hey, we don't like each other until the point we realize we're in love. Like, they never went through any of those motions.
Right.
No.
And there was no bad guy, basically. It was all circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a weird circumstance that the – well, anyway, we'll keep going through it.
So then the doctor has her do, like, a sense memory exercise like we used to do in acting class.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. She smelled pie, and she figured, well, I think my mom made pie.
He should have had her do one of Uta Hagen private moments where she
– right.
Well, I guess it wouldn't work.
When she was doing that, she's like, I think my mom used to make pie. Like, it was such a broad, like, that could apply to anyone kind of thing. Like, a bad psychic making things up that are really obvious to anyone. Like,
right.
I sense the fact that you had a mother who's probably older than you, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, yes. How did you know?
Like, yeah, my mother would sometimes put things in an oven. Huh.
Oh.
It's all coming back to me now.
So then Jeff like is takes her into the town and he's introducing her to people. Turns out, of course, his parents own the diner in town.
Oh, do they own it?
I thought they owned it.
They do. Yeah. Before we even get to that, though, she meets the guy that owns the bookstore, is carrying big boxes, mm-hmm. presumably of her book. And
now, this is where it started.
She ends up not going in the bookstore in that moment. So, you know, crisis averted of, like, her figuring out who she is at the beginning of the movie.
Because this is where I started to have a problem, because wouldn't he kind of have an idea? Wouldn't she even look familiar to him?
That's my problem, is that if she is a famous-ish author, not only famous-ish, but famous-ish where her book is out now, the movie's coming out, so they're going to have big displays in the bookstore, and every book has a photo of the author on the back of it.
Would you recognize J.K. Rowling?
Yes, I would.
I don't know that I would, okay. But I haven't read the books. But when she showed up at that book fair, there were all these girls swarmed out there that wanted to meet her. They knew who she was. So why wouldn't Emily, the girl in this movie that supposedly loved these books, why wouldn't she know who Angela was?
Right. Put it this way. If I were to meet J.K. Rowling, I'd probably be like, hey, you look familiar to me. Like, I might not, like, I'll out and out recognize her, but I would be like, I think I know her.
I'm trying to think of another famous author, but yeah, I don't know. I do agree with that, because the daughter was, she was looking at the book, she saw the picture, so she might recognize her. Yeah.
So we're at the diner.
We're at the diner.
Pour himself coffee. He drinks a lot of coffee in this movie, I noticed. Because I stopped drinking coffee, so I'm very sensitive whenever I see people drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. I noticed this guy drinks a lot of coffee.
Les just held up his mug to rub it in Kurt's face.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there it is. Yeah, he's holding up a mug. I'd like someone to pour a whole entire pot of coffee down my throat right now. But okay. Anyway.
So, yeah, so they're talking to the parents. The parents are nice, you know.
Yeah. A little nosy.
Nosy, but I like that.
Oh, yeah, you like
that. That's fine. But then we cut back to the car, and there's
So they're sitting there talking to the parents. The parents are like, oh, like, where are you going to stay? And Elizabeth hadn't thought of that yet. And the parents just pimp out Jeff and his house, like, oh, you can stay with Jeff and the kids, complete stranger. Stay with son and his children who you don't know and have never met. Yeah, that's safe.
Well, you know, he had a guest house. It was in the guest house.
Parents in these movies are always in really good shape. Like, the protagonists will be like 35 and the protagonists are like 50.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And they're doing really well. They're in great shape. It's like, wow, good for you.
Yeah, the mom and the dad.
Your parents were older.
Yeah, but they were like attractive, older people.
They're always active seniors. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So then we cut to the car wreck, and her phone is ringing in the car wreck.
Can you track a phone?
Yeah,
to see where it is? Yeah. Oh, I guess these people can't. All right.
Like, isn't it the Fine Friends?
Don't mean to ruin the movie.
Yeah, but you can opt out of that. And I would imagine someone that doesn't like attention, like Angela, would have opted out of that a long time ago.
Okay.
So then she meets the kids. Emily, what was the little boy's name? Something.
Alex.
And then we find out that Emily is writing a play for Fall Fest. Mm-hmm. And they start describing Fall Fest, and they describe Fall Fest as, Fall Fest is an all-day celebration. And I wrote, kind of like gay pride, basically.
Mm. They're exactly the same.
Fun.
We have pumpkin carving at gay pride, too.
You do?
No.
What does that have to do with gay? Oh, it doesn't. Okay. It
depends on what you do with that pumpkin once you carve it.
Right, exactly. Ooh. Exactly.
That could be straight activity, too.
Oh, and then this next part, Emily says, I have only 2 weeks to write this show. And I wrote, oh, please.
You write your shows in like 3 days.
2 weeks. I've written a show in a day.
This little girl talking about.
2 weeks. okay, so this next part, I can totally get behind. And I wrote this down because I've mentioned before that my husband and I are kind of started the process, the adoption process. And so I wrote this down as something that I could do because he basically blackmails his kids into doing their chores. And he blackmails them into doing their chores is he changes the Wi-Fi password every day, and they can't get the Wi-Fi password until they do their chores. And I'm like, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm.
I had heard of this before. I thought it was really smart when I heard it before.
And I'm using this. So thank you, Hallmark, for that.
Your kids are going to hate these movies. They're gonna be like, damn, that Hallmark.
Well, they better
no, don't have Wi-Fi.
Because they're going to be watching them. Because daddy's got a podcast.
That's right.
So then they start talking, and this is where we find out about Jeff's dead wife.
I see dead people.
Exactly. So then, So Jeff is like showing her around his property, and we find out that Jeff has like an old broken down canoe, and she knows about canoes.
Yeah, she talked earlier in the movie about wanting to go canoeing.
Right, and like she knew the make, the model, everything.
Yeah, she knew an obscene amount about a canoe that I think even somebody that canoes regularly wouldn't have known.
Right. And then I wrote here, the dad, Jeff, looks like an adult Eddie Munster.
No. Having met Butch Patrick as an adult, I can assure you that is not the case.
Oh, okay. Because the dad had like a widow's peak. He had like a full head of hair, and he had like a widow's peak, like Eddie Munster.
Yeah. What did you say, Kurt?
Oh, I said you interviewed him, right?
I didn't interview. So when I may have told this story on the podcast before. When I first got into radio, the radio station I worked at, we would do this Halloween costume party every year, and we would have like celebrities, artists come play. And one year we paid to have Butch Patrick, TV's Eddie Munster, come judge the Halloween costume contest. Butch was there. I was dressed as Susan Powder, the Stop the Insanity woman from the early 90s. That was my costume. Yeah. And so, like, Butch, I'm pretty sure, had a few drinks in him. I think he actually thought I was a woman because I'm pretty sure he was hitting on me.
Oh.
Wow. Now, was he dressed like Eddie Munster?
Yeah, we made him wear the ears. You had to pay extra, but he would wear the ears, the pointy ears.
If you had to pay, you had to pay extra for him to put the ears on?
Yeah.
So he's like, that'll be $50, please, if you want me to wear the ears.
I mean, he was nice enough, but I'll try and find that photo. Maybe I'll post it on our page.
Please do.
And he was hitting
He's
hitting on you as Susan Powder.
Yeah. If you don't know who Susan Powder was, back in the early 90s, she used to do these infomercials for workout videos. And she would say, and so she had like very harsh, like buzz cut, bleach blonde hair. She would wear these like really baggy sweats, but she was in amazing shape. And
right.
Kind of gave off a lesbian vibe, and like, you know, in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense, but at the time, nobody really realized it. And she was like a big motivational person.
Yeah.
Do you know who became friendly with her?
I do.
Kurt?
I do. Our friend Dan.
Dan.
Right. He had a show. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. And she was working at a coffee shop, right?
In New Mexico.
Yeah, and she wasn't like the owner or anything. She just kind of worked there as a barista, and he got friendly with her, and then I think he had like a falling out with her, right?
And like he's telling me like she has like she had like a black adopted son, and she was living in New Mexico.
Right. Yeah, she was basically a household name for probably a year or so, for a period of time.
Yeah.
But I think it was one of these situations where, like, she was in this infomercial, but she had a very bad deal. So even though she was on TV all of the time, I don't think that she made the money that she should have made.
Oh, maybe not.
Which a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, we don't realize, like, if you don't know about entertainment, a lot of people who you see all the time on these shows may not necessarily have the best deal in place. Right. So I think that was one of her, like, I think she didn't have the best deal.
Yeah, she was famous enough that she was parodied on SNL. Mm-hmm. I believe Kirstie Alley hosted. She played her.
Yes, yeah.
But this is back in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, I would come home really drunk and after the bars, and I would either watch Susan Powder or I would watch the Richard Simmons Deal a Meal or Dionne Warwick.
I used to watch that. You remember that infomercial? I think this guy's name. His first name was Don, and he used to do this thing where he said, "If you buy tiny classified ads," that was his whole thing. It was like this half-hour infomercial.
Isn't that the guy that the Wolf of Wall Street's based on?
Was that him?
I don't. Maybe. I don't think so. This guy was kind of nebbishy. He was like, "Hey, tiny classified ads." Wolf of Wall Street guy was more of like a slick sort of guy, I think.
Did you guys ever watch the Psychic Friends Network, the Dionne Warwick one?
Yes.
Maybe.
Because all it takes is a telephone and an open mind. Did you guys ever watch the LaToya Jackson one?
What did she?
Yeah, she was involved with that, right?
LaToya's Psychic Answer.
Don LaPree is the guy you're thinking of.
Don LaPree. Yes, you're right. I was just looking at
He did Nebbish, Making Money Secrets was the big one. Yeah, he was charged with 41 counts of conspiracy, mail fraud, wire fraud, and promotional money laundering.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Well, that's why we don't have to do it anymore.
Did you guys watch Miss Cleo?
Yes. I am Miss Cleo. She was arrested or something. I just remember there was a Howard Stern used to play this soundbite calls. And so it's like somebody would call somebody. He's like, "I'm Miss Cleo." So like, "I don't know why you're calling me. Hello, you're going to have a baby." It's like, "What? You got the wrong number."
And because her thing was, "Call me now if you want the answer."
"I'm seeing a new baby in the next 6 weeks." Now, you're up there. You got the wrong number, honey.
Oh, okay. So right. The little girl, Emily, is talking to Elizabeth, to Angela Elizabeth, and she's saying how she hates her Aunt Linda because Aunt Linda tries to take her shopping for dresses and makeup. And I was like, "Young lady, your Aunt Linda is doing the Lord's work. You need to jump at the chance to get free clothes and free makeup. Grow up."
How's she gonna pay for it?
So then the brother and Angela's, oh sorry, the boyfriend and Angela's sister are talking, and it turns out because they're wondering where Angela is, and I guess it turns out that Angela has a history of running away.
Yeah, they're very calm.
Yeah. They're like, "Oh, she just, you know Angela. You know how she is. She'll be back."
Yeah, okay. I'd be a little worried, but these people are just like, well, you know.
So then they're having the family's having pancakes, and someone asks her if she's going to get some new clothes. Which they weren't wrong, because she's wearing scrubs. She's still wearing scrubs.
Yeah. At this like point. 3 days in at this point.
Still wearing the scrubs. Well, like, they're very comfortable.
I do like scrubs. They are very comfortable. So then they're at a town meeting, and she's still wearing scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff introduces her to the town and says, hey, you know, she has amnesia, so maybe we should try to help her. And then this girl stands up, and she's like, well, I have a couple of thousand Instagram followers. It's like, sit down.
Is she the same influencer who licked? Is she the same influencer who licked the toilet?
No.
Okay. I got my influencers mixed up.
I loved about this too. Is like she's like all you know, post a photo, and then instead of posting a photo with her camera phone, which is how everyone posts Instagram, she pulls out like a full on big ass camera with the giant flash on the top.
Right. Like, gee. She's like, Miss Insta Celebrity, look at you. But then
it's like the same prop people that work on all the Lifetime movies with the hidden cameras that are the size of two fists. It's like, let me just pull up my camera. She pulls out like the giant, huge, like the filtering screen.
I'm also freelancing for Life magazine.
The jeez, light bulb. So she has to change the light bulb between every flash.
Right. I like the kind of the one stand there and don't move for like a half an hour. But yeah, Elizabeth gets triggered though, and she has a flashback of like like cameras going off.
Yeah.
And so then Jeff buys her a journal to kind of help her out, help her jog her memory.
But he didn't buy her any clothes.
He
took
no clothes.
Time out of his day to go to a stationery store to buy her this nice leather-bound journal, but didn't think to maybe, I don't know, go buy her a shirt.
Well, he has a budget for his amnesia patient, so it went towards the journal instead of the clothes.
Oh, so like maybe he had some on hand already?
Yeah, that was the petty cash for the day.
The entire population of this town is just people that have crashed into that same tree, and they've all been living there trying to figure out who they are for decades.
Great. I like that plot. Everybody journals, too.
But then, though, he does give her some money. And he throws shade because she's like, wait, because he's like, hey, well, you know, this afternoon, why don't you go check out the town? And she's like, and then he even throws shade and goes, oh, and we have a thrift shop in town, too. Which, you know, he's shady.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's okay, a doctor. He could have taken her to like a department store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something. Could have ordered. He seems like a nice guy, but if she was unattractive, let's say she was, you know, unattractive to him. Mm-hmm. Would he have like put her up in a hotel instead, or you know, left her in the hospital, or
no? I don't know. He would take her to adult services.
Yeah.
Okay, adult services. Yeah.
Oh, and then they do the Hallmark thing, like they're walking away, and then they do the Hallmark thing where they kind of check each other out as they're leaving. So you could tell they like each other. And then it shows her, and she's waking up, and she actually, her journal, like, it shows that she's, like, actually remembering things, like, little things. And then I wrote, and she has a new pair of scrubs. I mixed up the order, because then this is after that. That's when they go into town. And then she's in the library. She's looking up amnesia. The Insta celebrity Wendy starts talking to her because, you know, yeah, I'm an Insta celebrity, but I don't have my own laptop, so I have to go use the library computer.
That is odd. Yeah. Well, she spent all her money on that camera. Budgeting is a big thing in this movie.
This was not realistic at all because at the internet and the library, there were no homeless people jerking off to porn.
You know, I've so seen that, and I got into a verbal fight with some with a with a woman about that. I thought that was the right thing to do.
Wait,
I said, I was in a library in New York, Manhattan, and I saw, and there was a guy sitting there watching porn just out, you know, out in the open. And I had a conversation with some woman afterwards. I told her about that, and she says, "That's right. That's the way it should be. That's civil rights."
No, it's not.
That's freedom of speech. What it must be. I'm like, what if, like, kids are running in the library? Well, that they should people shouldn't be letting their kids look like that. I was like, okay.
But wait a minute. Change the subject. Wait a minute. So it's a library in New York, and they didn't have sense enough to block the porn.
No, I guess in New York City.
No.
And the woman I talked to, she thought that was okay. She wasn't in a library. It's like a separate situation. But she thought because of civil liberties that people should be able to watch porn in a library. I say no.
That's called child abuse.
It was weird.
Because a kid can see it.
Yeah. Anybody can see it. Jason, you experienced that as well? Because you're the one who brought it up.
No, I just – that's a very common thing.
Oh, okay. Well, it happened.
So we find out that Wendy, the Insta celebrity, is filling out housing applications for college. She's going to college in Boston, and so she's filling out housing applications. And then that kicks off a memory for Elizabeth. She has like another.
Because Wendy's applying to Emerson, which is in Boston. And when she hears Boston, right. Elizabeth immediately is like, wait, what?
Right.
Please.
So then meanwhile.
Meanwhile, we see the doctor. Yeah, yeah.
This is the part that Kurt was talking about. Mm-hmm. Where the doctor's doing the search for the attractive woman with amnesia.
You don't look up homely woman. She's not going to show up.
But she's attractive.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to hit the
press. That's how we know. That's how we know. He feels that she's attractive.
So then the sheriff stops by and tells – because the sheriff and Jeff are friends, by the way. So the sheriff is telling Jeff that he's still looking. And then we see Emily, and she's still trying to write her show. And Elizabeth's helping her. And – she says that basically the show is about a girl named Erin who loses concert tickets, and she asks her classmates to help her, and Erin is shy, but by doing this, the classmates and Erin become friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So then this next part is you know me.
Yeah. I wrote down the words, Les, I smell a thrift shop montage coming up.
Yes. And this movie did not let me down. Because they run in – so Emily and Elizabeth run into Jeff, and they go to the thrift shop, and they have an actual makeover montage with music and everything.
It was short.
But it was short, but it was better than nothing. These days with these movies, I'll take a short makeover montage that's done well. Even though the clothes were all ugly, it was still done well.
I like the cowgirl. I thought she looked hot.
Every time Hallmark does a montage, it's literally only like two outfits. I don't know if the costume budget is low or if it takes too long to change outfits, so therefore they're shooting for longer. I don't know what it is, but their montages are always very short.
Right. Now, yeah, the outfit that she picked out was very ugly, but baby steps, you know? Baby steps.
Oh, the one she ultimately chose you didn't like?
Well, you know, for a makeover montage – for a montage worthy, like, the outfit's got to be banging.
Well, no, she wasn't going to, like, a cotillion. She was looking to wear clothes that weren't scrubs as she's hanging out in this beautiful New England town.
Well, it still should be banging.
Right. I like the cowgirl outfit. I think she should have gone with that.
I do not agree.
I did like the sunglasses she had on in the one outfit.
With jeans. The outfit she ended up with was like very, very conservative. But I like the cowgirl with the jeans and that look. I thought that looked good.
Yeah.
But her conservative outfit, that caused Jeff to, like, stand up and just drool.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So then they're back at home, they're having dinner, and they turn on the TV, and she sees the commercial for her book.
Right.
Or maybe it was the movie, she sees the commercial.
Yeah.
And so she kind of gets a little triggered again, like she starts, you know, she gets a feeling that,
Yeah, and she immediately goes and writes in her journal.
Yeah.
Which I thought in that moment, oh, she knows. I thought she figured it out.
Mm. Right. But then she's teaching Emily about writing, and like she's teaching her like what an arc is and a story and stuff, which is her explanation of arc was actually pretty good. You know,
yeah.
That it was like an emotional, like, you know, this is where the person has an emotional journey. I was like, oh, I'm like, I need to write that down myself.
Yeah, that's a good effect.
Oh, so then she's kind – Elizabeth is kind of scheming. She has, like, a secret mission. Mm-hmm. She takes the kids, and basically her secret mission is that she's going to fix the canoe up. And I was impressed with the fact that she knew how to fix a canoe.
Yeah, she remembered that. And the little boy – yeah, the little boy wants to – he would rather do manual labor on the canoe than play video games. God bless him.
Who are these kids?
My video game can wait.
Oh, so then I wrote here, we cut back to her boyfriend back in Boston, and I wrote, her boyfriend seems like he's basically happy she's gone.
Yeah. He and the sister were both like, oh, we're getting a lot more done without her in the way.
Right. Like, they're happy about it. So then we see the sheriff and
Well, we
Jeff.
Find out that Brad and the sister haven't even gone to the police yet.
Right.
It's like 4 days later.
At this point.
No, I think it was at 4 days at this point. But still, it's been a long time.
I didn't bother. Nope.
Even 4 days.
Mm-hmm. No worries.
Think, you know, you would think like, she hasn't even called in
like
4 days.
If she was as busy as her schedule had claimed that she was at the beginning of the movie, wouldn't all those commitments be wondering why is she canceling all of her press at the last minute?
And especially since she's a woman alone. And I'm not even being sexist by saying this, but, you know, as a like a woman who disappears for 4 days off the face of the earth, that, you know,
right.
you kind of worry, you know?
Dark.
I'd be horrified.
I
watch
Lifetime.
Yeah.
I watch the ID channel. I know what happens.
Yeah. Bad message in this movie. If your people have disappeared, you have to report that.
Right.
Tell the police your attractive friend has been lost in New England.
Okay. So then the sheriff and Jeff were talking, and the sheriff is like, oh, come on, Jeff, I know you like her.
But then
they start talking because Jeff is like, well, eventually she's going to get her memory back and she's going to leave. So I'm afraid about that. But the sheriff is like, well, you know what? Enjoy the time that you have with her.
It is a little something there that she has a boyfriend. You know, it's a little cheating that she doesn't. You know, it's happening, kind of, sort of.
But well, it's not cheating.
I think it falls under that Hallmark umbrella of, like, we don't want the characters to intentionally do anything bad. Like,
right.
In her mind, she doesn't know anything about her life. All she knows is, I like this guy.
Well, remember when we were talking months ago, when we were talking to James Mattson and Barbara Bronner, mm-hmm. and they were telling us that one of the big things is if she has a boyfriend back home, she can't kiss the guy mm-hmm. until she breaks, like,
right.
she can't
right.
be in another relationship. But okay. this, she's not cheating because she doesn't know. She didn't remember. Right. She didn't know she had a boyfriend, so that's not cheating.
Yeah.
Like, cheating's got to be – I think cheating's got to be intentional.
Right. And it's so, not real cheating, but it's for a Hallmark movie, it's getting it, – like, it gets
– There's overlap, for sure.
Close.
Right.
It's getting close. Obviously, in real life, this is – this. Well, I don't know.
Right.
There's overlap in partners.
You can't cheat on someone that you don't know. You know? I mean, look at Outlander. Do you guys watch Outlander?
No.
No.
Okay. So get ready. So Outlander's about this woman who somehow she ends up, like, she goes and she's in this Stonehenge situation in Scotland, and she goes to pick a flower, and the next thing you know, she's in 1745, right? And so she has a husband in the present, which is now the future, and so she's forced to marry this guy in Scotland, right? Because she's forced to marry him. And so it's not, I don't think it's cheating because she kind of had to marry him, and she's in 1745, not 1945, where the future was. It's right. Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Totally makes sense. Yes,
no, but totally my previous girlfriend, read all the books and watched all the shows, and she was into it. But I never watched it with her.
It's really good.
Now, the people that are listening to this podcast years and years from now, before they come back in time to tell us about how we sound, are we going to be offended if they're in their present day talking shit about us?
No.
Okay.
How do you know that, Les?
I don't know.
We don't know.
And P.S., I bet the people that listen to this podcast, if you watch Hallmark movies, you watch Outlander.
I don't know.
Well, not you two, because you guys kind of have to watch Hallmark movies. Mm-hmm. If you watch Hallmark movies by choice, you probably watch Outlander.
Are they making more Outlander, or is it over?
No, Outlander, the new season.
New season?
Oh, my God, this is good. I think the new season is out or coming out, and that's what I'm going to do in our downtime during quarantine. I'm going to binge watch Outlander. There you go.
All right.
So then they surprise Jeff with the canoe. Mm-hmm. He's very happy.
It reminds him of his deceased wife, though.
Yeah, it kind of did.
I see dead people.
I actually thought at first, because his reaction wasn't of like, oh my God, I can't believe you did this. He was sort of stunned. So I thought for a second that it was going to trigger bad memories. Like, oh, I love that you did that, but like, this just makes me think of my wife.
Right, exactly.
But that wasn't
it. But he doesn't.
Yeah, he was just like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
And not only does he have fun, he gets crazy, and he jumps into the lake with all of his clothes.
Now, that's a different scene. That's later. He goes out. He and Alex, the son, go out in the canoe. I don't know why Emily stayed behind or Elizabeth, but it was just the dad and Alex.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like bonding, dudes. Like father-son bonding, you know.
And
I think that shows, like, her being in the house is helping them get closer. Mm-hmm.
I was a little worried about if that canoe was going to sink or not, so I was kind of happy that
it did look like it had holes in it initially.
Yeah, right. So I didn't want, like, the little girl to be in there, so I think they made the right move.
And we did have, like, an amnesiac fixing a canoe.
That's so true. Yeah. An amnesiac. We're selling this cheap. It was made by an amnesiac.
If she stays in this town long enough, she should just open a place called Amnesia Canoes.
Right. I bet it would do well.
The prices are so great, I forgot.
Well, she forgets to charge people, so she's losing money hand over fist.
Right. I forgot. How much did I tell you this is going to cost?
Oh, I already paid.
Right. Okay. So then they have dinner. They have dinner, and then they're having lunch or dinner or whatever. Then he gets crazy and jumps into the river.
Yeah, Elizabeth is basically goading him on, saying he's a little by the books, And right. he insists he can be spontaneous, at which point he takes off his shoes before jumping in the water.
He should have gotten buck naked and jumped
right.
in.
I would have been okay with that.
So then the next scene, they are doing the Hallmark trope of it's cold, and so he has given her his jacket to wear like a cape.
Mm-hmm.
And they're standing in front of the guest house, and they almost kiss, and then those damn kids cock-block.
Yeah, Alex totally cock-blocked.
Hmm.
And then I like
that he needed to walk her to the guest house. It's literally like 5 feet from the regular house.
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
I know.
He's making his move.
We know where he was getting at.
Wait, let me walk you to your bed.
Yeah. Right.
It's a long hallway.
And then I wrote, because they gave us a full shot of the guest house. I wrote, the guest house is actually very nice.
Oh, yeah.
He's got money.
And then they have a talk because he says he likes her, but she's his patient. So it would be unethical for him to go for it because he's his patient.
He has a code of ethics.
Right.
All right.
And then she agrees with him, actually. They agree to keep everything professional. So then it cuts to the rehearsal for the little girl's play.
His code of ethics does not involve it's okay for his patient has amnesia to stay and help with his kids.
Well,
I don't know.
Put her to work. She needs purpose.
I don't know what it was at this point in the movie that caused me to look at this up, but I looked up the writers on this movie, and there are 5 credited writers on this thing.
Oh.
5.
Jeez.
FYI.
Wow.
So they went through a bunch of rewrites.
Seeming.
Oh, okay. So she's at the rehearsal. Like, they're at the rehearsal. Little Emily's play. And the kids are being total divas.
Yeah.
Like, total divas. And they're basically telling her, the script sucks.
Yeah. They said, one of them says that they're like, I would never say anything like that.
Right?
Which I actually thought was a really funny, like, inside Hollywood kind of joke to put in here.
Right. What's my motivation? Oh, and then Emily tells Elizabeth that her script sucks, and I wrote, Emily is not wrong.
Ouch.
Wow.
Les, don't play this particular podcast for the adoption agency.
Oh, true, true.
Yeah.
I'm here to encourage children.
Yes.
Adoption agency.
I find your writing to be stale and rather. Oh, no. It's good.
I will give you love and a lot of constructive criticism.
Oh, wait. Okay. So the boyfriend and the sister finally go to the cops.
Yeah.
Everybody's operating on a very weird level in this movie.
Like a week later, they finally like, oh, she's been like, in the end, wasn't it? She had been there like 2 weeks at that. I think at some point someone mentioned 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, because at the beginning of the movie, we found out that Fall Fest was 12 days away, and the doctor at that point didn't think that Angela would be around that long.
Right. So basically then the brother and the sister, or the boyfriend and the sister, waited like almost 2 weeks to go to the cops. Mm-hmm.
Which almost makes them, which would almost make people suspicious of them at this point.
Right.
That they did that.
They're horrible people.
You also have to wonder, beyond the two of them, weren't there any other people on the planet that were worried about her whereabouts?
Right. Like her parents?
Yeah.
I guess not.
Because she didn't say that her parents were dead, no, so she had parents. And then, you know, even, like, booking people or, you know, her publicist. Wait, or was one of them her publicist?
Her sister is her assistant.
Yeah, sister is the assistant. Brad was like her agent or something.
So then you have a publicist. Like when you're on a major book tour like this,
yeah,
you have a publicist. Also, if you're not showing up, then the production company is going to get pissed because you're promoting this movie for the studio.
Brad and Angela even had a meeting with the book people, with the publishers, talking about Angela as if she, like, oh, like they're brokering the whole deal and they're talking about what they want from the next books and stuff like that. Like, wouldn't Angela have needed to be there for that meeting?
Right. And I would definitely think the studio, because you could tell that this was like a major motion picture for like a major studio film, the studio mm-hmm. would be pissed that she's not showing up for her interviews yeah. to promote the movie.
Those are usually yeah. contractually obligated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, we don't see these people. Maybe they are mad.
It's a whole other movie.
I wrote here. I did think when the boyfriend.
Because it might as well be her brother.
When the boyfriend and the sister went to the police station, I wrote, "Well, the detective is hot." I thought he was hot. Jason's like,
I don't remember.
You've been quarantined longer than I have, clearly.
Oh, okay. So then Elizabeth is at the diner at this point, and she's talking to the parents, right? His parents.
Well, the dad yeah. sits down, puts down a plate of brownies that he just took out.
Right.
Which presumes that he's the one that made them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Elizabeth starts to eat them, and she's like, "Oh, what is right. that? Is that a pecan in there?" He's like, "Oh yeah," and she starts to go into anaphylactic shock because she's allergic to nuts, but didn't know
yes.
that.
And then, not only did she go into anaphylactic shock, she slept an entire day yeah. after that. Like she wakes up and she's like, "Where am I?"
Yeah, I slept for 10 hours. Like,
you had an allergic reaction and you were out for an entire day. Which, does that do that?
It can really knock you out.
I don't know,
but
yeah.
Yeah. It can really knock
you out. I would imagine you would need a lot of rest after something like that.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Kirk.
And Jeff says that his mom made the brownies.
Right.
I don't know why he blamed it on his mom. His dad made them.
So, well, you know, deny, hide the evidence.
He's trying to confuse her, I guess.
Throw her off the scent. Yeah. And she might press charges.
Elizabeth, you made these brownies for yourself.
Right.
Right after
remember?
You did it while you were making that canoe.
You insisted. Oh, okay, so it's finally here. We're at Fall Fest.
Oh, good.
And Jeff actually took the day off of work. And the kids are egging him on. They're like, "Listen, you need to go for it with Elizabeth. You need to go.
You need to get laid.
Get
I appreciate the
work, Dad. Work.
I appreciate the kids do want like their dad to get laid in these movies. That's right. that's generally what happens in these Hallmark movies.
So then Emily is talking to Jeff's mother. And she's like, they're talking about something, and she's like, "Well, maybe you're a writer, you know a lot." And then the doctor gets a call from the sheriff, and the sheriff is like, "We found her car." And then the boyfriend gets a phone call, you know, we found the car. Oh, and then Emily, like, the play's about to start.
This is a tiny little detail, but it really made me laugh. So when Brad tells the sister that they found Angela in Vermont, her reaction to Vermont is as if it's on the other side of the world. She's like, "Vermont? Like, how did she get to that very next state?"
Right, exactly. How did she drive
Vermont?
That 1 hour?
What? How did she get there?
She must have driven for an hour.
So the play's about to start and they can't find Emily. And so then Elizabeth goes looking for her. And she goes into the bookstore and she sees her book. And she starts reading, like, she picks up one of her books and starts reading one of her books, and her memory comes back. And she finds Emily.
She was reading the description about the author of the book.
Right.
Which didn't have a photo, which is super weird.
Which is very weird these days. Yeah. So then her memory comes back. But you know what she does, and I sign off on this, I approve, she decides to keep it a secret, which, very good.
Well, the doctor is keeping it a secret also for a little while, because he's not happy about this.
Yes.
They agree to both keep secrets.
I'm happy about that. So then, you know, she gives Emily a pep talk, they go back to the fair. Elizabeth tells Jeff she has something to tell him, but she wants to wait to tell him later. Then there's a couples montage.
Yeah, it takes some wacky pictures.
Right.
They bob for apples.
Right.
Then they ride on a dangerously rickety Ferris wheel.
Right. Perfect.
I actually liked the fact that Emily was freaking out about the play. Very similar to the way Angela was freaking out about going on TV. I thought it was a nice framing device.
Yes.
To illustrate to Angela who she is.
Right.
Good, yeah.
And then of course there's the Hallmark trope of at the end of the couple's montage there were fireworks.
Some terrible song, too.
Right. So then we cut to the play. The play's ending. The play goes well.
Although there's a heavy-handed coda in the show, where a little girl who she also acted in the play, and she comes out and gives a speech at the end. Not necessary.
Right. Well,
convey that in the dialogue.
And I see nothing wrong with writing your own play and acting in it.
No, that's fine. I've done it. Of course. That wasn't a criticism. I'm pointing that out for our audience.
This podcast got really awkward. I'm gonna leave, guys.
I admit I have
Kurt did the same thing I do,
in.
By the way.
Kurt,
so that's why
Kurt, why do you hate performers so much?
I am just painting a picture for the audience. Our audience. A
very bleak picture.
I'm not. Good for her for creating her own opportunities. That's what we have to do, artists. Let's do it.
Yes, we do.
See you behind me? There we go.
Yes!
I do it.
So Elizabeth gets on stage, and she's thinking of the town, and she's about to, like, fess up. And then the boyfriend shows up with the sister. So the cat's out of the bag. And then this is where Angela and Jeff, like, fess up that they both knew the whole time.
When Brad, like, walked in on, you know, Angela's speech, he gets up on the mic and he announces to the entire crowd, this is Angela, whatever her name is. And again, Emily doesn't react like, oh, that's my favorite author. How did I not really?
Never dawned at anyone. Register. So then basically Angela's like, well, okay, thank you for helping. I got to go now. Thanks. And then before she leaves, she's saying goodbye to everybody, and Emily asks for an autograph. And of course, she gives Emily an autograph, and it says, never stop dreaming. And then she gets in the limo, and it all starts, the machine starts up again, like she had never disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
The boyfriend and the sister are, like, fielding offers, and, you know, and Angela does not look happy. And then we cut to 1 month later. And Angela's, like, looking through her Vermont journal, and you can tell she's wishing that she was back there. And then we find out that all of her interviews only want to talk about Vermont. and they only want to talk about her amnesia. And so she's in an interview, and she's talking about
her
amnesia.
Back on Beantown today, by the way.
Pardon?
Back on Beantown today, by the way, the show she left earlier.
Yeah, so it's a full circle moment. Mm-hmm.
Much like James Caan at the end of Misery, she does not want to talk about her bad experience.
No.
Or a good experience, I don't know, for her, maybe.
And so, but she gives a shout out to the town, and she talks very favorably about the town and says how they helped her and how she appreciates them. And so then she gets done with, and then Dr. Jeff is actually watching the interview. So then she finishes her interview and she dumps her gay boyfriend.
I love how people break up in these movies. It is absolutely ridiculous. No breakup is happening like that. Hey, it's okay. I notice we've been drifting apart anyway. And then just turns and walks away and a new life begins.
And she says, I figured out who I was. So then she goes to her sister and she's like, hey, I need to borrow your car. And the sister's like, are you kidding? You just wrecked your last car. she wrecked her sister's last car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the sister's like, are you kidding? And then...
I love what the sister did, though.
What?
The sister's like, yeah, you could use it. And then takes out a marker and writes the name Angela on Angela's arm in case she gets lost again. It's a very memento moment.
Right. And the sister's like, good thing I have good insurance.
Yeah.
So then she drives back to the town. She sees the kids, Emily and Alex. She tells them, guess what, kids? I've started a new series, and here's my manuscript. Why don't you read it, Emily, and let me know if you like it?
But first, sign this non-disclosure.
Right, exactly. And so then Jeff shows up and Jeff tells her that you helped me realize that I need things that make me happy. And then she says that she's going to stay in Vermont, which you guys know how I have a problem with the woman giving up her life to move to the small town with the man. Mm-hmm. But in this case, as a writer, she can live wherever she wants and still have her writing career.
Well, and also, it's been stated since the very beginning of the movie that this is what she wanted. She wanted a slower life. She wanted to be able to do her career on her own terms.
Yeah. So in this case, I approve of this in this case because she's not giving up her career. She's just basically moving to a new city.
Exactly.
So I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And then they kiss, which means on a Hallmark movie, when they kiss, the movie's over.
Yep. Sure does.
The end.
The end.
So what do you guys think?
I actually thought it was decent. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. I did not see the amnesia storyline coming because that's a little more soap opera-y than Hallmark tends to tread in. And I thought for as absurd of a premise as it was actually pretty well directed and acted.
Yes. Kurt?
I've been trying to formulate an opinion. Yeah, I have a similar opinion. I think it was a little different, so I like that. I guess amnesia is not – it's original for these Hallmark movies as far as I know. Mm-hmm. A little tricky because, as I said, I questioned the ethics of how the doctor was operating. Like I say, it was okay.
And you know, and you guys know me, so you guys know that I have no problem with questionable ethics at all. So, but yeah, it wasn't bad. I was entertained by it. Like, it didn't bug me. I was entertained. I found it entertaining.
Well, it's a little weird because it was like he this woman comes. She has no amnesia. It's kind of like, so he names her. He tries to name her. And then he just brings her home, and this becomes his love interest, which is that the premise is very questionable.
But, you know, I mean, they did the same thing on that movie Splash.
Okay.
Remember, he like...
She was a mermaid.
But then, remember, he picked up some random woman, and she wasn't even... She didn't have clothes on, and he brought her.
It's been a while since I've seen that as well.
I liked
it. It's on Disney Plus.
I liked that the theme of this movie was that she was both literally and figuratively searching for herself.
Aww. Oh!
It definitely came full circle. Mm-hmm.
Well, nice. Guys.
we should isolate that and play that in future shows. We'll have to get access to that soundbite.
Well, guys, it's been another week. I've also been thinking after, like, okay, so the last podcast where we did the Lifetime movie, I was very disappointed that we did a wrong movie with no Eric Roberts and Vivica A. Fox. So I want to find, like, actually, I think since we're all stuck inside and we're quarantined, I need, for our Lifetime movie, I need to find something that is just, like, out of control.
Yeah. Even more bonkers than normal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Because I think we need to heighten, since we're all stuck at home, I think we need to even heighten our entertainment even more. So I'm going to find something that's just, like, insane.
I want to throw an idea out there, and maybe it's unwise to do this on the podcast, but, you know, I read something this week about how Netflix, there's a plugin for Chrome browsers where you can do a watch party together where it syncs up the video so you're all watching it at the same time and can, like, comment on a chat window. I feel like we should do one of these, like, Hallmark knockoff movies that they do on Netflix, but do it, like, where we do it all at the same time.
I'd be up for that, sure.
We'll have to look into that, but that might be something to consider just because, like, got nothing else to do right now.
Yeah, no, I would be up for that for sure. For sure, yeah, let's talk about that once we're done. Because, yeah, that actually sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can find me on Instagram at Kirkendall, or you can find us on Facebook as a group as a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast, and then we have a Facebook group as well, Lifetime of Hallmark podcast group. Jason,
we're also on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark podcast. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
Well, if you're looking for more shows to watch when you're home, I did do a pilot, TV pilot. There's one episode of this series you could watch, and it's on campusmartiustv.com, although I pronounce it Campus Martius. And then I also have kurtfitzpatrick.com.
Yes. And that is it for this week. I'm going to go do some indoor yoga now.
Oh, cool. I'm going to start doing that again.
Actually, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of my stuff, like, a lot of my classes have moved online. So a lot of day-to-day is still happening. It's just all happening, like, virtually. But yeah, everybody, you know, we know it's kind of, times are different now, but, you know, hey, stay entertained, and we'll do our best to keep you entertained and try to keep your spirits up as well. And remember, if you have any movie suggestions, don't hesitate to tell us, especially now that we've got more time on our hands. We can really watch them. So any suggestions, please throw them our way. And I guess I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.